Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Notice here in John chapter 13, in verse 31, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him." If God is glorified in him, God will also. So notice what Jesus says. Jesus said, if God is honored in my life, then God's going to honor my life. So in other words, this isn't just limited to Jesus. Because notice, he referred to himself. He referred to himself not as the Son of God. He said, now the Son of Man is glorified. Do we have any humans in this place this morning? See, what applies to him applies to us. If God is honored in our life, then God is going to honor our life. If we're all about lifting him up, if we're all about glorifying him, see, that's the thing. The world is more focused in on glorifying themselves. People that don't know the Lord. That's how the world thinks. They think about how they can exalt themselves, how they can increase themselves, how they can better themselves, how they can improve themselves. They got all kinds of self-help seminars in the world. All kinds of things you could do to improve your life. In other words, to glorify yourself. But in the end, although they might achieve a certain level of success and prosperity, there's going to be many sorrows attached to it. You know, we see that over here in the book of Revelation. Talking about the world system here in Revelation chapter 18. In verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself. Again, this is talking about, it's referred to here in the scripture as Babylon, but it's talking about the world system. The world system. And it says, in the measure, verse 7, in the measure that she glorified God? No. Glorified herself and lived luxuriously. So she did a pretty good job at it. The children of this world, I mean, there's some folks that are doing a very good job at prospering themselves, increasing themselves, glorifying themselves so that they're living in luxury, luxuriously. In the same measure, she has done that. Give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not know sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. You know, the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he is going to reap. That's a New Testament scripture. God is not mocked. He has set things up in a way that if you sow to the flesh, glorifying yourself, exalting yourself, you will ultimately, though you might experience luxury and prosperity and success for a season, suddenly that will all come down and you will reap corruption. And you know, you think about life. Life is so delicate. I mean, you think about, we're driving down the road and you're going down a freeway. You got cars flying past you. You know, life can end really fast. Without God, without any guarantee of protection, anything can happen. People put bars on their windows and alarm systems in their house to make sure nobody can break in and hurt them. And then they die of some dreadful disease because Bars don't keep demons out. And we're not just dealing with flesh and blood. So there's a lot of things in this world that can cause a lot of problems for people that are maybe not experiencing any problems right now. Life looks good. But how foolish it is to trust in money. How foolish it is to trust in the world system. How foolish it is to trust in our own strength. To trust in the arm of the flesh and what man can do for you. Thank God for physicians. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for mechanics. Thank God for people that are experts in their field. But our hope, our trust, our confidence has got to be in the Lord our God. It is foolishness to do otherwise, to put your trust in anything else except him. Ultimately, you will reap corruption. It all will come down. And that's what we see here. But the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, Miss Babylon, she got a lot of sorrows added to all the things that she has added to herself. She is reaping and going to reap a terrible harvest. But oh, bless God, when you receive increase and prosperity from God, when it's because of his blessing upon your life, there'll be no sorrow. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering added to it. You know, I remember after I got saved, you know, I had a business in New York, and I was determined that by the time I was 30, I was going to be retired. That was my goal. Retired at 30. Praise God. And I'm being a little entrepreneur out there, and I got me a business and working that in partnership with my brother and doing some other things to financially get ahead in life and do well. And then I got saved. I recognized that there was more to this life than this physical world, and I had to know what it was. Life, as I knew it, just seemed too superficial for me. I had to know what it was all about, what made it work, so I started going a little deeper into spiritual things, and I ended up finding the Lord. And you know, as soon as I found the Lord, it was amazing how all the things that I had accumulated, all those things, one by one, and I'm not saying this happens to everybody that gets saved, it doesn't have to happen this way for everybody, but this is what happened to me. One by one, every one of those things corroded. I lost all of it. I had this business, and shortly after being saved, next thing you know, and I had credit I had established with banks and things, and next thing you know, this business is going under. I'm going personally bankrupt, and I got to sell this business quick. And then, you know, we finally get through that, and next thing I know, I get a phone call from the place where I had my boat docked in New York out there on Long Island. Had a nice boat out there, and I got a phone call from a lady, and she said, it was, you know, over the area where my boat was being docked. She said, "You better come down here. Your boat doesn't look right." I said, okay. I got in my car. I went down there, and there was the nose of the boat sticking out of the water. I said, you know, that doesn't look right. That boat was destroyed. The engine was ruined. It was done. And just one thing after the other, you know. And to the point where God had me in a place where I could start completely over. I mean, I was stripped of everything. I even had this woman in my life I really liked. But God sent me out to go to Bible school, and she couldn't come. She had to stay back in New York, and I figured, well, that relationship's over now. I've lost that too. But I love Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I left mother and brother and sister and would-be wife to follow Jesus. And all those things behind me, I left. But oh, glory be to God. God has replenished and rebuilt everything up. I even got that woman back, but she wasn't the same woman when I got her back. God did a work in her, glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now I can say, bless God, everything I have is because of the blessing of the Lord. It's the blessing of God on my life, and therefore the devil can't touch it. He can't touch it with his corroding hands, because none of I have belongs to him. Glory be to God. So don't worry if you're in that place where it seems like things are going away. That's all right. Keep going with God. Because if you keep following him, he's going to prosper you. He's going to increase you. He's going to cause you to get back anything that you lose or anything you gave up in order to follow him. He promised it. He made a blood covenant with us that it is so, and that it will all come to pass. Do you believe that? Say, God makes me rich. Yeah, his blessing. His blessing. Now, that's what my Bible says. Religious people get uptight about those kind of things. Can't use the word rich in church. That sounds covetous. Well, I guess God's covetous then. Because Proverbs 10:22 uses the word rich, and I'm a preacher of the word of God. And the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. And adds, hallelujah, and adds no sorrow with it. But again, it's all for him. It's all to glorify our Father, to glorify him. And when we have a heart that wants to give of itself to him, to give everything we are and everything, to give up whatever, to be able to have him, to honor him, to exalt him, God says he will come and he will exalt you and he'll do it how fast? Immediately, immediately he will come and glorify you. That word glorify means in the Greek honor, magnify, to praise. Well, God's not going to praise me. Oh, yeah. He'll praise you. He'll cause angels to praise you. He'll cause people to praise you when you're all about praising him. He'll cause you to be praised. I mean, you read over there in Hebrews chapter 11. No, you don't have to go there. But over in Hebrews chapter 11, God is commending all these great heroes of faith. One after one, he's commending them to you and I. And he said, if you're not ashamed to declare him before men, then he won't be ashamed to declare or to praise you before the angels and his Father in heaven. I mean, the day's going to come, bless God, we're going to stand before the Lord, we're going to stand before the throne, and Jesus is going to stand up there beside us, and he's going to praise us to the Father. He's going to commend us to the Father for the things that we did in his name, how we lived our life for him and not for ourselves. So yeah, God will glorify you. As you seek to glorify him, he will honor you, he will magnify you. He will praise you. That word glorify means to celebrate. He'll celebrate you. To make renown, famous, popular. God wants to make you popular. He doesn't want you to be the most homely person on the job, in the workplace. He doesn't want you to be the most homely person wherever you go in life. He wants you to glisten with his glory. He wants you to shine. Hallelujah. He wants you to stand out. He wants to make you popular. He'll make you famous, make you like a star. Because really, in the Word of God, the stars are those who are his messengers, those who are his servants. We see that in the book of Revelation. Now, the stars in the world are those who glorify themselves. But God's got stars. He's got the lifestyle of the rich and famous of his own. You. He wants to make you popular. He wants to make you famous. Well, do you have anything good to give? Is there anything about your life that's exciting? That God might want for people to get a hold of? Do you have a gospel that you love to share with people? Well, then God will make you popular. So you can share it with more people. Because that's what you want to do. You don't want to just do karaoke and get men to hand clap you. Is that what you want? Oh. The applause of men? No. The praise of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's great when people praise me because I get to turn them to Him. But them praising me is not my reward. No, I don't want that. I want them to praise me so they'll listen to me so that I could tell them about Him so that they'll turn to Him and then He'll praise me. God will praise me. God will say, you turn these people to me, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You got them to follow me, Jesus. Stevie. Yes, Lord. I got them to follow you, Jesus. Praise God. Now that's exciting. Somebody just coming up to me saying, great job. Great job. You're wonderful. It's like, okay. That's good. I'm glad you feel that way. So that means you're hearing what I'm saying and receiving what I'm doing so that you will now take that and turn to Him. And then I'll hear Him say, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Sounds like some praise to me. Sounds like some celebrating. Praise God. We get to heaven. There's a ticker tape parade. And the confetti's flying. The glory's glistening. Angels' wings are flapping. Come on, folks. This is where we're going. This is what we're living for. This is what we're working for. To be rewarded by God. To be glorified by Him. He wants to make you renowned. It means to manifest the dignity and worth or importance of someone or something. God wants to manifest your worth. God thinks you're worth a lot. That's why He paid for you with the blood of His Son. He paid for you with His own life. That's how much you're worth to Him. He wants to manifest what He sees in you to the world. Somebody say, I am full of worth. Yeah, so as we want to glorify Him, honor, magnify, praise, celebrate, make the name of Jesus renowned, and manifest His dignity, His worth to others, that's exactly what God wants to do to you and I. And He will do it immediately. He'll do it immediately. God's not going to delay. So who's doing the delaying? Who's doing the delaying? You see, the delay would be on our end, wouldn't it? Because God's a God of immediate. He's a God of now. God's not slack concerning His promises. He's not in the delaying business because He's not in the doubting business. Delay is the result of doubt. So if we just won't doubt, then we won't delay. If we'll get in faith, then we'll move with godly fear and do the things that are in our heart to do. So to the degree we're in faith about Him and we want to glorify Him, will be to the degree that God will glorify us. So again, the way to increase, the way to being exalted, the way to being lifted up by God is by what? Giving of our lives to Him, that He might be exalted, that He might be magnified, that He might be lifted up. So if we'll get busy about lifting Him up, then bless God, we'll get lifted up. Not lifted up in pride. Lifted up by the presence and power of God. Lifted up by the blessing of the Lord. So how many people want to lift Him up? How many people want to glorify Him? Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, let's look at some things here in the scriptures that Jesus taught us about how to glorify Him, glorify our Father. John chapter 14. John 14. And in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now notice that. Jesus says that we are to ask for things in His name. And in our asking, how do you know what we're supposed to be doing when we're asking? Receiving. Whenever we're asking for something, we're to be asking in faith. We're not asking in wishing. That's how the world asks. They're not sincere in their asking because they're not sincere about God. So when worldly people pray, they ask wishing and hoping because there's no commitment to God. There's no true trust in Him. But when we ask, at the same time we're asking, we're believing, we are receiving the things we are asking of Him. Although we don't see it right away, we believe we're receiving it as we're asking for it from Him. We know He's not delaying in honoring us and giving us what we're asking Him for. Because we're asking in His name, trusting in Him, looking to Him to bring it to pass. So by asking for things in the name of Jesus, the Son is glorified. Of course, Jesus is the Son of God, but we are also sons and daughters of the Most High God through our faith in Him. We're members of His body. So when He's glorified, we're glorified. You're glorified. So how are we going to be glorified? By asking for things in faith, receiving them from God. It's time, therefore, to start asking big. Believing big. Believing for greater things than we ever had before. It's so sad when you see people with lazy faith and they ask, and then shortly after they ask, they go right into doubting. So that they ask again, and then they'll ask again, and then after a while they just stop asking because after all I've asked, and nothing ever happened. I asked to be healed, nothing happened. Now I just go straight to the doctor. I don't even ask anymore. I just go straight to the doctor. Yes, I brought my tithes and offerings in and I asked, but I haven't seen the increase that I need financially. So I just go straight to the bank for the loan. I go right to my credit card. I don't even ask. I just charge it. And there's so many that have grown weary in their asking, rather than improving upon their asking, sharpening their faith when they ask. Because if there's a problem, it's not with God. So why would we lose hope in Him? Why wouldn't we just go ahead and work on the problem, us? Why wouldn't we just work on the problem and just determine, I'm going to dig that much deeper into the truth of God's word until I'm walking in this faith that causes what He promised to come to pass in my life. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. I'm going to keep pressing in and growing in my faith to the point where I'm asking God for the world. And whatever I ask, I'm receiving it from Him. Amen. And I'm not wavering and I'm not doubting. And God is glorified in it. God's not glorified when you ask and then start doubting and wavering. God's not glorified. No, He's not honored. That's not honoring Him. That's not magnifying Him. He's a faithful God. He's a God of His word. And to not receive and to die prematurely, be taken out by some kind of disease or something, to live in poverty, man, that's disgraceful. We're not going to have that. God deserves better. God deserves better. The world needs to see that my God is a healing God. My God is a prospering God. My God is a good God. He takes care of His little lambs. He takes care of His sheep. He takes care of me. He feeds me. He clothes me with good things. He's a good Father. He's a good God. The world needs to see that. They need to not just hear about our faith, but they need to see our faith in action. See our faith bringing these things to pass in our life. And man, when God's able to bring things to pass, it honors him. It glorifies him. It causes people to praise him, celebrate him, and say, man, God is good. God is good. He takes care of his sheep. God's not a killer. He's not a murderer. He's not a devil. He doesn't want to look like the devil. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How many people are confusing God with the thief? How sad. How sad. With this many Christians on the planet, nobody should be confused about what's the devil and what's of God. It should be very clear. Oh, you serve devil, you get kill, steal, destroy. Oh, you serve God. Oh, you get life, and that more abundantly. You get prosperity and health and strength and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, faith will fight. Faith will press through things. It'll ask, believe, it receives it, and then weather any storm that tells it otherwise. Doesn't matter what keeps trying to beat up against it and say, no, it's not going to come to pass. Oh, it's coming to pass. I don't care how many naysayers and doubters there are out there. Bless God. It's coming to pass because my God is a good God. Yes, he is. He promised it. He said, if I ask and I stand in faith, it'll all come to pass. And bless God, I got good news for you. Everything I'm believing for is coming to pass. Not worried about it, not doubting about it, not fretful about it, and not departing from God to try to make it happen some other way because God didn't come through for me. That's our approach to Christ. That dishonors him. That shames him to try to go out and try to get things done in the flesh. We don't want to go out and try to get things done in the flesh. Like King Asa. I'm reminded of him and how God came through for this man. Here he was, the king of Judah, and he's over the nation and over God's people. And an army comes out against him that's bigger than his own, but he turned to God, he relied in God, and God delivered him in that battle, caused them to win. They shouldn't have won. The odds were all against him, but they won. And then a million-man army came from Ethiopia against Judah to destroy it. And he heard about this army coming. I mean, a million-man army. And he trusted in his God, and God came through and delivered him again miraculously. He saw the hand of God. And then somehow later on in his life, when he got older, he began to trust in himself. He began to look to his military. He began to look to human reasoning to be able to deliver him. Now, let's pick it up over here in 2 Chronicles. Let's look at King Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. King Asa should never have forgotten. If he continued to praise God and testify about what God had done for him in days of old, he might not have gotten out of faith concerning his current situation. But somehow, some way, he drifted from his faith in God and began to rely on the arm of the flesh. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So he besieged the city. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord. He went in and robbed the church. He stole the money from the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. Here, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of the armies against the cities of Israel. And so he did that, and there was relief. There was deliverance as a result of it. Syria came in and caused the king of Israel, Baasha, to flee, to leave him alone. And then notice verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Now, I want you to notice, he did not rely on the Lord his God. He relied on the arm of the flesh, and yet he experienced deliverance. Right? Looked like it worked. We went in, we robbed the temple, we got all the money together we could raise, and then we gave it to the king of Syria, and we got relief. We got set free. Everything's great. So they're probably celebrating, you know. They're celebrating, patting themselves on the shoulder. Hey, yes, this is the way we do it. I'm brilliant. So Hananiah comes in there and begins to prophesy and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Now watch this, verse 8. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyans not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. So the king was furious when the word of the Lord was given to him because the prophet rained on his parade. He was celebrating himself, celebrating his great wisdom, his success, his prosperity, his victory that he had won for the nation. And the prophet came in there and said, yeah, you won all right, but you did it in the flesh. You didn't trust in the Lord. And now there's going to be a lot of sorrow added to it. A lot of sorrow, a lot of problems are going to be added to it. And this king was so arrogant, instead of repenting, he throws the prophet in prison. Isn't that interesting? I wonder how many people have thrown the prophet, the prophets of God, the pastors of God, and churches in prison in their mind and went out free of that place, free of those people. Their arrogance, trusting in themselves, dishonors God. It's a disgrace to him. God is looking for those that will be loyal to him, those that will love him with all their heart, be fully committed to him. And he says, when he finds somebody like that, what does he do? He shows himself strong on their behalf. When they are committed to trust, asking him and trusting in him to bring things to pass, he shows himself strong on their behalf. In other words, he delivers them. He glorifies them. He gives them the victory. And when he gives you the victory, no sorrow is added to it. Hallelujah. There's no corruption, no negative side effects. That's why you want to get yourself filled with him. That's why you want to commit your life to him. That's why you want to trust in him. Because there's no negative side effect. The world gives you all these things. They'll help you. They'll bless you. But it's not the blessing of the Lord. And so it always comes with negative side effects. People need to understand that. You know, thank God for medicine. There's all kinds of great medicines out there, you know. All kinds of creative things that men have conjured up. All kinds of potions that they've stirred up. But oh my goodness, the list of side effects, they'll tell you right to your face, a bunch of them. Right? I mean, you got these commercials, you know, and they're advertising their latest drug to help you. You got this problem, you got that problem, here we got the drug. See these happy people in the commercial? It's because of our drug. They're all smiling and they're happy because they take our drug. And then before they conclude the commercial, they tell you the side effects. No, it's just sleepiness. Kidney problems. And if you die prematurely, contact your physician. If you die prematurely, contact your physician. They sneak that one in there. Most people don't hear that. So Asa, he's not going the right direction. And then it says in verse 11, note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was very severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So, Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Notice that it flowed right over into how he treated even his own body instead of seeking the Lord. Now again, God can send you to a doctor. God's raised up medical science. God uses medical science in many wonderful ways. But you got to be led by God. You can't just be led by the wisdom man. Well, when you reach this age, make sure they do this to you and that to you, and they do all these things to you to make sure you're okay. Now, why don't we just go before God and make sure we're okay in our heart? Make sure we're right with him, and then let's be led about what we do. And if you feel led to go and have an examination done or something like that, that's fine, but be led. You don't want to just do things in the flesh because of fear. Because you're hearing these horrible reports of what happened to people at this age. Because all that is trusting in man, and it is going to produce sorrow. It's going to produce trouble for you. We're not going to put our trust in man. We're not going to put our trust in ourselves. We're not going to put our trust in the arm of the flesh. We're going to trust in the Lord. Say, I'm going to trust in him. John 15, in verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples, my disciplined ones. Notice that. Again, how is our Father glorified? By us asking what we desire. Not just shooting for the moon so that we land on the stars. And rising up in the flesh to try to accomplish something or to get something. Take it to prayer. Take it to God. Everything we are to be taking to him in prayer. And then he's the one that gets our answers to us. And some of those answers might be wisdom from him on what to do to lay hold of the thing that we're asking him for. It isn't just always asking and that's it and God drops it. No, God, through asking, God will show us things and give us wisdom on what we must do to go ahead and take possession and have those things. But we go in asking, believing that we're receiving, knowing that we will have it. He will lead us. He will guide us. But we're going to him. We're acknowledging him in all our ways. We're asking it of him because all good things come from God. How many things? Are you sure? So then that means you're asking him for all. Everything. We're asking him. We're acknowledging him. We're coming to him. And we're getting in faith. We're living by faith. We're not just using faith as a spare tire. We're getting a real big jam. You're getting a real big jam. Bless God. You need to pull out your faith. No, the Bible says the just shall live by their faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight. This is constant all the time. We walk. This is how we walk. When you stand up and you start walking, you're walking by faith. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thanking Him, acknowledge Him for everything. Trusting Him for everything. Looking to Him for everything. Praise God, He's the one that gives us the best parking spots. And the best parking spot might be the one at the other end of the parking lot. But it might be the best thing for you because of the exercise. Exercise is good. But we look to Him for everything, right? We're asking Him. So are you believing for some things from Him today? Are you believing for some things? Well, if you're in faith and you're believing for some things, then you got some expectancy about you. You're expecting some things. You're looking for some things to show up. You got your head lifted up and you're looking. So stuff to happen because you're asking for stuff. You're believing for stuff. And we're going to start believing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for bigger and better. Hallelujah, so that God can be glorified in it all. He can be glorified in us bearing much prayer fruit. Us bringing forth great things in our life, big things. We're getting all our answers, bless God. And God's being glorified in it. All the doubt and unbelief is out. Instead of us moping around, we're not getting anywhere, we're not going anywhere. That's dishonoring Him. Because that's not who He is. And you're saying you're a Christian. And going around saying, yeah, I'm a child of God. I went to church this morning. Where were you this morning? I went to church. Oh, okay. You walk out of church, you need to be gleaming. That's why a lot of unsaved family members never get saved. Margaret comes home. Miss Saved Margaret, you know. She comes home to unsaved Alfred. She was at church. I'm not making your lunch, and you're not stealing my joy. I got some joy at church today, and you're not getting any. Honey, next week. Honey, you want to come to church with me?
No.
Thanks anyway. Christians, all they can do is hand out little tracts, you know. They stiff the waiter at the restaurant. You know, they don't give. They pray over the meal. Hey, Father, we thank you for the Iranian crisis. They pray over everything under the sun. You know, the waitress is standing there. Uh-huh.
We thank you, Lord God, for your blessing on this food in Africa. And we thank you for all the starving people throughout the world. Amen.
And the waiter and waitress, they serve. And, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. And then the waitress comes to gather up the stuff and the tip. And there's a track. It's a track. And you know, they got these cruel tracks now. They got these tracks that look like a $100 bill. Have you ever seen those tracks? Half of it looks like, oh, you pick it up and says, ha, 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 ha. Jesus is your answer. He's more important than money. You got cruel Christians out there, cruel. Got real quiet in here. I'm getting very concerned. Very concerned. I'm looking around, too. Put your tracking in, throw a $100 bill next to it. I mean, do something nice. It doesn't have to be 100, but do something nice. Praise God forever. They'll know you're Christians by your love. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? You're a blessing because you're blessed. Got more than enough to be a blessing because my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God comes through for me. I'm not afraid, bless God, to be a blessing. Not going to stiff you. I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. No more of this walking up to people. You're on a track. Jesus, it's about Jesus. He's been really good to me. Let's let our light shine. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is just one way we glorify Him. Through asking. I got a whole bunch of ways we can glorify Him. You want to learn about it?
Yeah.
Well, come back next Sunday. We're going to talk about glorifying our Father in heaven so that He can glorify us. How quick?
Immediately.
Immediately. Bless God. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.